Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome. We've got the, 4 or 5 million albums sold. Hip-hop. Spoken word. Rap icon Paris joining us coming up in about an hour and a half from now. In about 20 minutes in studio, we're going to have Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's down here with me for an interview for my new film about the economic collapse and Barack Obama being a puppet frontman and what we're going to see come from him and his betrayal of his supporters that we've already seen. He's also going to be discussing in studio, though, particularly what his whole analysis on the Mumbai, formerly Bombay, attacks in the financial center of India and the clear false flag evidence therein. So that is coming up in about 20 minutes with Webster Griffin Tarpley. And then we have Jeffrey Smith, the expert on GMO foods and crops and just the genocide against humanity and the planet Earth that is going on, dealing with that later in the last hour of the show today. So the artist Paris, joining us from San Francisco, in studio Webster Tarpley and Jeffrey Smith. Coming up on GMO, the melamine in the milk, all of it, the deadly toxins in the plastics. We, of course, have been talking about this for decades, but scientists said don't use that type of plastic back in the 50s because it would sterilize not just mammals, but amphibians, reptiles, and that's exactly why they put it in the plastic. And now it's finally breaking major news, so we'll talk about it because what's old to us is new to the public. Public doesn't believe anything until the mainstream media finally has to admit it. So we'll be discussing that coming up today, trying to get people to consciously become aware of what's happening. And myself included, even though I know all this stuff, I still slip up a lot and drink fluoridated water or eat and drink out of that type of plastic that's widely used. I still eat some GMO food to my detriment, and I'm really trying to focus myself and others on not using cell phones as much, not having them around my children, that's radiating your brain. Massive studies on that, giving you brain tumors, and a lot more. So we'll be discussing that. I'm going to blitz through the news in the next segment. The Rocky Mountain News is on the verge of going bankrupt if they're not sold, they're saying. 30-plus major papers, including the Austin American Statesman, where I live, around for 150-something years. It's on the verge of, being sold and in financial trouble. And this is a perfect storm of the mainstream media being discredited, the Internet, most people getting their news from the web and not the horse and buggy pulp papers, the wood pulp papers. And it's also that the economy itself is imploding, and so there's less ad revenue at a time when newspapers, most of them were already hanging on by their fingernails on the cliff over the abyss of bankruptcy and extinction like the great dinosaurs. You know, I'm not really happy about the newspapers going bankrupt and being sold and being downsized everywhere, because as bad as they are with corporate propaganda, you still get some local news out of them. And some of the multinational conglomerates are actually hailing all of this and cheerleading the fact, praising the fact this is happening, for further consolidation and vertical integration. So you've got about six families own over 90% of the newspapers in this country. Four conglomerates own over 90% of the TV, cable, and film production. And you're only going to see a greater consolidation of that as well as the government comes in worldwide, governments worldwide, in unison to restrict the First Amendment on the web. So don't hail the death of the newspapers, because the death of the net, the free web, is also ongoing. It's already begun. The websites are prisonplanet.com, Infowars.com, Infowars.net, JonesReport.com, TruthNews.us. We'll be right back with a news blitz and then Webster Griffin Tarpley.
Have you ever wanted to generate your own supply of electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Solar-powered generators are now available from Solutions from Science, one of GCN's oldest and most trusted sponsors. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity for free. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, and even keep food from spoiling. Whether it's hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out, you'll be ready with a solar-powered generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com and get off the grid today. That's mysolarbackup.com today. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Don't wait. Call today.
On September 11th, 2001, along with hundreds of my fellow troops, I went to Ground Zero, and we knew what to do. Or at least we thought we did.
Truth Rising is a breakthrough 9/11 film that finally gives first responders a platform to tell their story.
Whitman, EPA director, on the 18th, made a statement that the air was safe to breathe.
This film follows the growing momentum of 9/11 Truth as brave souls throughout the world take action against their global masters.
He had his hand over the radio while he was getting a countdown. He takes his hand off and you hear 3, 2, 1, and it was boom, 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 boom.
This is an emergency transmission worldwide. Download Truth Rising at prisonplanet.tv and aggressively spread it worldwide. Or order the DVD at Infowars.com. If we don't expose the government-sponsored terror, they're going to commit more acts and bring in martial law.
How would you like to save up to 90% on your phone bill? It can be done thanks to Empire One Telecom. EOT offers voice over IP technology that will allow you to make phone calls from your home or business without the high cost. Take advantage of EOT's most popular plan, which includes unlimited long distance throughout the U.S. and Canada, and 360 minutes of international calling for only $19.95 a month. Plus, all calling plans include over 40 special features, including call waiting caller ID, and three-way calling free. Take your phone number on the road with you thanks to EOT's travel-friendly box. Simply plug your adapter into any internet connection and start making phone calls. It's that easy. So if you have a high-speed internet connection and are ready to dramatically lower your monthly phone bill, choose your plan now at EOTTech.com. That's EOTTech.com. EOTTech.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Paris joining us, coming up at the bottom of the next hour. Webster Tarpley in studio coming up in the next segment about the Mubai situation, Obama, and a lot more. The Supreme Court is privately having a hearing amongst themselves today to decide on whether they are going to go forward with a court case dealing with Barack H. Obama. Was he really born in Kenya or Hawaii, as his mother claims? Why won't they release the original copy instead of a receipt of live birth? So we're going to be watching that as it develops as well. In the news today, again, as I mentioned, will Supreme Court take on Obama's citizenship? The U.S. Supreme Court will consider today whether to take up a lawsuit challenging President-elect Barack Obama's U.S. citizenship on continuation of a New Jersey case embraced by some opponents of Obama's election. The meeting of justices will coincide with a vigil by the filer supporters in Washington on the steps of the nation's highest court. The suit originally sought to stay the election and was filed on behalf of Leo Donfrio against New Jersey Secretary of State Nina Michael Wells. Legal experts say the appeal has little chance of succeeding despite appearing on the court's schedule. Legal records show it is only the tip of the iceberg of nationwide efforts seeking to derail Obama's election over accusations that he is neither was born in the U.S. citizen or that he later renounced his citizenship in Indonesia. I personally think this is going nowhere. The establishment is fully behind Obama, both the Democratic and Republican parties, but we will certainly see what happens there. Gulf Oil CEO says gas could hit $1 a gallon by next year. Gulf Oil CEO Joe Petrosky said on Wednesday that the price of oil could sink to $20 per barrel, and there is a chance gasoline prices could drop as low as $1 per gallon by early next year. Speaking at the South Shore Chamber of Commerce breakfast, the Brockton native said that after speculators drove oil prices up, there's a chance that the market will overshoot on the way back down, resulting in much lower prices at the pump. Only about 30% of oil price increases up to $150 a barrel 5 months ago, 6 months ago, was speculation. The rest was dollar devaluation. There has been a global currency devaluation in the last 6 months, not just the dollar being devalued, but all major currencies were devalued. The IMF and World Bank honchoed that. And so you've had all currencies dropping. That's why it's appeared that the dollar has stayed its free fall. In reality, again, they are all dropping. Milwaukee neighborhoods could print their own money, the Chicago Tribune reports. Two neighborhoods consider printing own currency for exclusive use in local stores. And it goes into the fact that the barter system is now being looked at. Residents from Milwaukee neighborhoods on River West and East Side are scheduling to meet to discuss printing their own money. The idea is that the local cash could be used in neighborhood stores and businesses, thus encouraging local spending. The result, supporters hope, would be a bustling local economy, even as the rest of the nation deals with recession. I think that's beautiful, and the feds can't stop that. If neighborhoods and then towns and then cities and then regions and states begin doing this, this was very popular in Europe, still popular in some areas of Europe, very popular in this nation's founding and before its founding, and has been basically extincted by the foreign banking cartel, the money changers. Really important news, Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament. This is out of Reuters today. It's up on Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. We have a link to it if you want to find it. And buried in the article is the key. Every time I get up on air and say that Australia, Canada, Scotland, and 20-plus other Commonwealth nations are owned and run by the Queen, Canadians, Australians send me emails and laugh at me or go on the message board at PrisonPlanet.com and say I'm a liar. Because they don't even know how their own form of government works. Your parliaments are ceremonial. And any time the witch wants to suspend the parliament, she can do that. And I've studied the British government. Now, in 1215, that for a while, there was, of course, some liberty by the middle class and a balancing towards freedom. And in the last 400 years, there were some periods where the parliament in England did have the power. Those were times when they seized the king and chopped his head off. That happened several times. Or imprisoned the king or queen. But in the last 200 years, the monarchy has been in full control. And the queen owns most of the oil, most of the timber, most of the gold, most of the diamonds, and the natural resources. Of course, this is all done illegally through fraud. But they love to advertise that they have no power, that they're a bunch of boobies, you know, a bunch of maroons who can't get anything done and have to have their noses wiped for them. But if you read this article, the parliament was moving to remove Stephen Harper, the Canadian prime minister, and the queen stepped in because she likes what he's doing and has frozen the parliament. And if you read the legalese, it has been dissolved. Now, she may reconfigure the parliament. And I would challenge Canadians that aren't aware of how their government works. Everyone serves at the Queen's pleasure. If the ceremonial parliament does what she wants, then she stands down. She's not just on your money. There's not just crowns on all your highway signs. When you're over in England, no matter where you're at in England, routinely in every major town, they will just shut down large parts of the city roads and tell you that it is the Queen's pleasure. If she wants to boat up and down the Thames, she will shut it down and make thousands of international ships and billions of dollars free, sometimes for weeks. She does what she wants, when she wants. Last time I was in England, they shut down large parts of the city, and they would announce on loudspeakers and on the tour buses that Her Majesty has chosen to shut down part of the city today. That is part of an exercise of power. You know, the Queen doesn't want billboards up nationwide in England, so there are no billboards outside the cities. It's all about an exercise of power. But this is not advertised. It's not put out in the media very often, but on the ground floor, they let everybody know. The entire British Parliament is spied on by the illegitimate MI5, MI6 that serves under the direction of Her Majesty. And that's why the Queen, through the executive powers that are, again, totally illegitimate, Hitler had total power but was illegitimate, has been ordering government ministers arrested under terrorism charges for exposing government corruption. So we're seeing tyranny, not just in England, but in the United States and worldwide. Here in the United States, the president, the executive, acts as a king now. And you're hearing them say the governors are now federal officers serving at the pleasure of the president. They can put troops, tens of thousands, on the streets. They are going to do it. But here is Reuters for those that are ignorant. Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of parliament. Suspension of parliament. And she can expel it as well. Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper won a rare suspension of parliament on Thursday, managing to avoid being ousted by opposition party anger over the minority conservative government's economic plans in an attempt to cut off party financing. Governor General Michelle Jean, Governor General, now that, see, we're under a Governor General under Northcombe that serves at the discretion of the executive. Same thing. That's, and I keep telling Canadians and others, it's that you're governor generals. You're in a commonwealth. Just like we had the 1776 war here that started in 1775 when the governor general came in and started removing governors, appointing puppet governors, removing legislatures, putting in puppet legislatures, removing judges and magistrates, putting in puppets. This is how imperial rule works. Face where you live, face what you're under, and then you can take your countries back. But as long as you continue to live in denial, we can't change anything. Reuters. Governor General Michelle Jean, representative of Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state. See? Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state. It isn't Harper. Agreed to Harper's request to shut down Parliament until January 26. Parliament was reconvened just weeks ago at the October 14th election. Harper's request for suspension was unprecedented. No prime minister had asked for Parliament to be suspended to avoid a confidence vote in the House of Commons. But see, that power is always there. If the little puppets don't do what they're told, if the ceremonial legislatures and parliaments and Congress, what happened 7 weeks ago? Congress did a no vote on giving the bankers unlimited total power to steal all the money they want with no review. That was in there. We read the bill. And so the banker representative of the Private Bank of England, via the Federal Reserve, the local governorship, the governor general of the banking elite, Bernanke, went in there with his puppet, Paulson, and said, and Senator Inhofe's on record now, and said, martial law will be declared, and we'll just do it without you if you don't do this. And they said, okay, under PDD 51. Now, again, you're not hearing about this in the news. This is why we're under martial law. We're already under martial law. The government is illegitimate. But they want to fool people with, oh, we got a brown face up there. This puppet, he'll fix it. It's a bait and switch. It's a new paint job on the same New World Order machine. What a betrayal. But so many delusional Obamanoids, Obama zombies, Obama minions. I've been talking to them. They'll walk up to me in restaurants, you know, a waiter or somebody, and say, what do you think of Obama? And I go, well, he's another puppet, same agenda. And he goes, oh, come on, Alex, I used to love you. Come on, be positive. I'm like, hey, man, I deal in reality. So the Queen of England has openly shown everyone that she runs Canada. Okay, got it. There it is, Reuters. Be right back with Webster Griffin Tarpley. Stay with me.
How many times have you been in the dark looking for a flashlight, only to find the one that you have is broken, the batteries are dead, or it's just not bright enough? You need the Packlight. The Packlight is the longest-lasting flashlight on the market and simply snaps onto any 9-volt battery and uses two high-powered LED lights. It's small enough to carry in your pocket, car, garage, and home. The Packlight can survive severe impact, be frozen solid, and still work flawlessly. The Packlight is so durable, soldiers overseas rely on them and has been featured in the New York Times and Backpacker magazine. The Packlight comes with a 25-year warranty and prices start at just $12.99. To learn more and see for yourself just how incredible this small flashlight can be, visit 9voltlight.com. That address again is 9voltlight.com. Or call us today at 877-715-4448. That's 877-715-4448.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, December 5th, 2008. For the next more than an hour, we're going to have Webster Tarpley in studio with us, and we're going to be talking about what really happened with the Mumbai attacks, all the evidence of false flag there with Western intelligence trying to get the two nations fighting with each other. We're going to talk about Barack H. Obama and what his presidency is really going to mean to this nation. Also, with the Supreme Court meeting today to consider further hearings on checking his U.S. citizenship and demanding his original birth certificate. We'll talk about that as well, Webster Tarpley, in studio. But he was listening out in the green room during the break when I was covering Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament, and we just went live at PrisonPlanet.tv, so I'll recap that for the viewers out there. Canadian Prime Minister wins suspension of Parliament, and it says Governor General Michelle Jean, the representative of the Queen Elizabeth, Canada's head of state, agreed to Harper's request to shut down Parliament until January 26. Parliament was reconvened just weeks ago after October 14th election. Now, he lost control of the government, became the minority party, but was refusing to allow elections within Parliament to have a new prime minister seated. That's how parliamentary systems work. Our country was much more similar to this until 1913 with the 17th Amendment, when states' legislators stopped appointing senators. That was their trump with states' rights over total federalism. But this is Imperium here, because she is the head of state, and Canadians and Australians and others in the 20-plus Commonwealth nations always say, oh, well, that's just figurative, that's just ceremonial, her as the head of state. No, 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 no. If you read the charters of these commonwealths, it is the parliaments that are ceremonial, and it is the queen's governorship, or through her governors, that is actually the power. So there it is in Reuters, and every time I mention these reports, people just don't believe me. And Webster Tarpley's written books on the British Imperium, written many articles on it and its form of government. So in the time we have left in this limited segment, Webster, I would love to, well, first off, welcome you to the studio, but then also give you a chance, you bet, give you a chance to break down the article.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for inviting me. It's wonderful to be here. And congratulations to you for everything that you're doing. This is the first I've heard of this. There was supposed to be a vote of no confidence against Harper by the Parliament. Now, remember, under the Canadian and indeed British Commonwealth system, the Queen is the head of state of all of these places, and it's about 70 countries. It's a huge group. And in the case of Canada and Australia, we have these royal governors general, and the royal governor general is the guy who's just done this, this guy, Governor General Michel Jean. So he's the personal representative of the Queen, and you can see that he has more power than the Parliament and the Prime Minister, meaning that we had this agitation in Canada in the 1960s and 70s saying that the Constitution had to be repatriated, right? They wanted to bring the Constitution home to Canada, and it turns out that was not done. I would say for people who have trouble with this concept, there are two examples. You can see that the Queen actually runs the show. One is in the Canadian NAFTA debate, in other words, to get the North American Free Trade Agreement passed, the Queen named new senators to the Canadian Senate to stack it, right, to pack it, to make sure that there was a
majority. That's right. They're supposedly going to be elected, but as soon as they didn't go the way she wanted, she came in.
Packed it.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other one is maybe even more spectacular. In Australia, Gough Whitlam, about 1975, was the Prime Minister of Australia, and he said, look, there's an oil crisis. I'm going to make direct deals with Arab oil producers, oil for technology. Australia will produce technology for them. We'll get our oil guaranteed. And London and New York said no. And at that point, the Governor General of Australia intervened to overthrow Whitlam and impose Malcolm Fraser. And it was a complicated thing because the Australian Parliament immediately voted no confidence in the new puppet, Fraser, and tried to get Whitlam back. And there was a period of about 6 months of tremendous chaos.
Who won that fight?
The Queen.
Again.
Because, see, what the Queen represents, the Queen is not, she's not somebody like Stalin, but she doesn't have all power. But she represents the oligarchy as a whole. In other words, she's the spokesperson. She's the doge, if you like, or the dogaressa.
But she does have Stalin-esque. She just doesn't want to use the power, because then that reveals that these parliaments are really ceremonial, but there's still danger within the ceremonial parliaments, because they truly have been voted in, so they hold the true, organic, rightful power, and then could rally the people with their bully pulpit to throw out the oligarchy.
Right, and the question of rallying the people is the absolutely critical thing, because if you don't rally the people, then the oligarchs are going to run wild, and we see that they're running wild. It also shows, though, that the entire Anglo-American world is now descending into a form of chaos, emergency rule.
Because they're having to now take the veil off, the velvet glove off the iron fist, and really show people the true machinery. Just like here in the U.S., they're announcing, yes, we're going to use regular army against the people. Yes, the governors are now puppets of the president. Yes, you're living under martial law. They're throwing the gauntlet down. Webster Tarpon, let's finish up with this riveting information when we get back, and then get into a lot more. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. More straight ahead.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Steve Schenck. Many have been afraid they needed their food supplies before the election. The inauguration, not the election, is the deadline given by the Obama insiders for completing your food supplies. Joe Biden and Colin Powell both stated that shortly after the inauguration, possibly the 21st or 22nd of January, the new president would be forced by an international incident to make some unpopular decisions. This functions as an important deadline for getting any food you intend to have. The unpopular presidential decisions will likely affect restriction of transportation and availability of food distribution. Order any remaining food needed no later than 4 weeks before the inauguration to allow for shipping. Late orders cannot be guaranteed delivery by this deadline for disaster. Call 800-409-5633 on the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Now, from the makers of Loose Change, the most downloaded film in internet history, comes the long-awaited release of Loose Change Final Cut, an entirely new two-hour film that completely destroys the official fable forever. Loose Change Final Cut hopes to be a catalyst for a new independent investigation in which family members receive answers to their questions and the true perpetrators of this horrendous crime are brought to justice. Loose Change Final Cut is the ultimate 9/11 expose. From hijackers being trained at U.S. military bases to bombs in the buildings, Loose Change Final Cut is the one 9/11 film everyone must see. Secure your copy of Loose Change Final Cut today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. While you're visiting the online video store, be sure to check out the huge discounts on films like Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, America, Freedom to Fascism, and hundreds of other titles. We're in a no-holds-bar information war. Truth is our weapon, and PrisonPlanet.com has the tools you need to take the fight back to Big Brother.
The holiday season is here again, a time to appreciate our friends and family and the many blessings we have. It's also time to find unique gift ideas for those we love. This year, why not give a gift that saves your loved ones money? A 2-ounce bottle of fuel conditioner from Fuel Saver Technologies makes a great stocking stuffer. It's also an inexpensive and thoughtful present. A small squeeze of our product in the gas tank improves combustion, boosting fuel economy 10 to 20% or more. Completely safe for all engines, our fuel additive also reduces emissions, maintenance costs, and reduces the friction of engine moving parts. Each little bottle treats 100 gallons of gasoline or 50 gallons of diesel. With a case of 16 or 32 bottles, you'll have plenty to give as gifts, and the cost is only $6 per bottle with free shipping. Call us toll-free 866-768-7811 or go online at FuelSaverInc.com. That's 866-768-7811. A unique gift that saves everyone money.
Now, England and 20-plus other Commonwealth nations are truly governed by the Queen as the head of state. Her governor generals control the bureaucracy. They control the intelligence agencies. They push through all of the attacks on the Internet, free speech in Canada. It is the governor general. If you read deeply into the last 6 months, they're saying, we're only going to let you have a few thousand websites you can visit. They've all got to be certified. We're talking Chinese communist-level censorship or even greater. China allows millions of sites to be visited and restricts millions. Canada's talking about just a few thousand, and it's not being done even by law. The regulators, because, again, the governor general controls the commerce, and the parliament doesn't do what they want. They just remove them, as they've just done. They suspend them or expel them, and that'll be the next move if they don't play ball, as you talked about them winning a fight decades ago in Australia. Similarly, And so that's why you see Australia announcing, what, 2 weeks ago, that they are going to only have a few thousand websites that you can visit. Headlines, you know, web to have Chinese-style censorship in Australia. Google that, you know, hundreds of headlines. And the news was saying, this is good, you know, because obviously they're the mainstream media. They also want to team up, like for like, with the establishment to restrict the burgeoning, exploding alternative media. Now, here in the United States, as Webster was just saying, they're trying to bring in a similar system of total executive power, dictatorial power over the states, over the Congress, threatening them with martial law, NORTHCOM, trips on the streets. The question is, from the onset of this nation in 1776, that was a rebellion, as I said earlier, against the very same Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, the very same German family that had just been in for two generations by then in England. King George III, removing governors, removing legislators, appointing governor generals, bringing back in this type of system. And we had a war over it because the British soldiers were coming to then disarm the people and to put troops on the streets of the 13 colonies. So same families, same players, same nations, same groups. Those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. And that's why it's so important to study history. And now in Canada, she just says, you know what? Parliament, you're no longer in authority. I'm keeping Stephen Harper in power because he's honchoing the North American Union. He's honchoing letting the banks loot Canada and changing the rules. He is going along with all that. And Webster Tarpley is just an amazing historian and written papers and books on this subject. So Webster, I want to get into Mumbai, but let's get back into this and flesh it all out because this is so vitally important.
Well, I would say the only adequate answer to what the Queen and her Governor General have done would be a nationwide open-ended general strike, saying bring the Parliament back together and let them vote, and we don't accept dictation from London or any place else. But as soon as you say that, you see the predicament of the Anglo-American world. In none of these countries do we have organizations that would be interested in mass struggle or even capable of conducting a mass struggle.
And that's due to the propaganda through the media.
Well, it's due to the atomization. I mean, political parties used to exist. They're largely gone. They largely exist on television. They don't have organizations.
It's infiltration of the labor unions, the media. Everything has been commandeered.
Right, but that's the question now for all of us is we've got to find ways to create new institutions, and that means institutions. I mean, it means ultimately the end of this, you know, offices in cities, right? If you had an organization with offices in 500 or 1,000 American cities, let's say, you could mount a protest against the things that Obama is going to be doing. I mean, we've got to look ahead now to this period of the 20th of January, the inauguration, till about May 1st.
Okay, I want to do that.
The 100 days to fascism.
But I want to put bookends on the discussion of the shadow government roundtable group, governor general, maritime or administrative law system that the British Imperium, the Anglo-American establishment is using. Finish up breaking down how this shadow government operates in the Commonwealths, how they're trying through executive to set one up here and across Europe again, and finish up, because that's key, how they're doing this, because they're under attack. They're losing their power. They have gotten into a crisis. And then let's get into Mumbai and then into Obama.
Just in terms of the British system is a copy of the Venetian system. The British monarch is the doge, or in this case, the female doge of the entire oligarchy, and this was copied. The French model of a monarchy is a little bit different, right? Something like Louis XIV, that's absolutism, and that's a step beyond, although that also has positive features.
That's divine right of kings.
Yeah, pretty much. And that was tried in England. That was tried by James I and Charles I. And as you mentioned before, Charles I got his head cut off back in about 1640. And since then, you've had these things, the rise of the Whig Party, the English Whig Party, or the great nobility who are about equal to the king, and the king or the monarch becomes a spokesperson for that group. So the British model is the monarch expresses the collective will of the oligarchy. Now, there have been times...
And they only ceded power because of 1215 and then other struggles in 1640 when they found that the middle class, the upper middle class, the gentry, continued to overthrow the monarchy. So the two interbred and combined forces.
Yeah, well, the outcome of all that process, and it's a complicated one, is that by 1688, right, by the so-called Glorious Revolution, you have the oligarchy in England putting in William of Orange, right, William and Mary, and that's a Venetian Doge system where the oligarchy picks the king, gets rid of one king, right, gets rid of James II, brings in William and Mary, and from about 1688 to 1832, you've got this perfect oligarchy, and it's gotten, you know, they've had some rocky times since. The one example that you want to point to, King Edward VII is an example of somebody who really did combine in himself this kind of power, because he had been the Prince of Wales under Queen Victoria. So that meant he had about 50 or 60 years where the mother was the queen. He called her my eternal mother. she never decided to leave the scene. So the Prince of Wales, Edward VII, created this unparalleled network, and he created the alliance system that brought on World War I. In other words, if you wanted to say one person who did most to cause World War I, that would be King Edward VII, because he created this triple entente, right, to crush Germany between Russia, France, and the British, and even he detached Italy from the German-Austrian coalition. So this is a very, very evil institution, and with the British monarchy, you're getting very close to the heart of power in the world. Again, not so much that the Queen embodies this power in herself, but that she represents the City of London, the court, the Foreign Office, the worldwide networks, the Commonwealth, right, the Royal Bank.
She is the spokesperson.
Yeah, and she's the delegated, you know, she's the chairman of the board, maybe, and also spokesperson.
And it's the same thing in the Netherlands with the Queen there as well, who were also intermarried, you know, into that same family.
Right, and that's the monument to that is this tremendous conglomerate, Royal Dutch Shell, which really is, it's Anglo-Dutch. And this is the heart of the oil
cartel. It's 50% British, 50% Dutch.
Right, and there we had somebody like Sir Henry Detterding in the 1920s and 30s, who was a big supporter of Hitler.
And that went back to 300 years previously when they merged the Dutch East India with the British East India.
Right, and this 1688 that I just mentioned,
yes.
And it's bringing in William of Orange. And there was William, yeah. the King of Holland, the stadtholder or king or whatever they called him, to bring him in and also become King of England.
And he was brought in out of Germany.
And then go against Louis XIV.
Right? Here's a question, and I've studied this quite a bit, but you probably know more, obviously. Was it just there had been so much interbreeding with the original Normans and the French and others that the British line were having trouble having children? Is that why? Because they had all those little states in Germany? How did the German royal line, which hadn't been dominant previously, end up populating all the major royal thrones by 1750?
Well, I would say maybe a little bit later. A lot of these people are the
Germans were controlled by 1700.
The nieces and nephews of Queen Victoria. That's again, Edward VII was known as the uncle of Europe because all of the Tsar of Russia was his nephew. The German Kaiser was his nephew.
The Austrians, they had blood there.
Yeah, but the big thing is that Queen Victoria had a lot of children, and the intermarriage there meant that you have a kind of a merger of many or most of the European royal houses with the British one, because the British, of course, had they had naval supremacy, they had financial supremacy, they had kind of a pecking order supremacy. I mean, the Kaiser Wilhelm, poor guy, Emperor William II of Germany, was obsessed with the idea that Edward VII of England was, you know, much more prestigious and much more, he had much greater rank in the world oligarchical, you know, universe than he did. So it's basically a united thing, and that's what you see today. But again, what the Queen is representing here is the decision that, you know, comes from the City of London. It comes from the Toronto Financial District. It comes really from Wall Street, too, because there are a lot of people there who are sort of dual, you know, loyalty people looking to the British as the homeland. Also notice that the $700 billion bailout that we fought against and tried, you know, to stop, and there was still,
which is now $8.4 trillion.
Right, right. That was a British model bailout. In other words, the whole idea from that came from Gordon Brown, Alistair Darling.
Yeah, they admit that, but he's
and Mervyn King. He was the big inspiration of that. Now, we've got a funny situation. If you look at Citibank got $25 billion, I think, under the first round of the bailout, the Gordon Brown British model bailout, and began to go bankrupt the second time, right? So now Citibank had to get a second bailout. This one was done under the Swiss model. This was done under the bad bank model, where you create this separate bank and put all the toxic derivatives into that one.
And then throw it overboard.
And now they're going to go bankrupt again. So what do you do when they go bankrupt for the third time? You've tried the British model, it failed. You tried the Swiss model, I think it's clear that Citibank is a candidate for Chapter 11 reorganization and wipe out the derivatives.
Yeah. Let me digress, then we'll get more into the bailout, the banker takeover, and the move into Mumbai, because I want to spend time on that, and then Obama coming up in the next hour. Isn't it extremely dangerous? I mean, they don't do this a lot, to have the Queen go ahead and come right out in the open and basically show Canadians and the world that these Commonwealth are really governed by the shadow government and that their parliaments do serve basically at the pleasure and as ceremonial legates.
It's dangerous, and I think the question there was, who's going to do something about it? Now, you have this left-wing thing called the New Democratic Party. Are they going to do anything? How about it, New Democrats? Are you going to fight for some notion of rule of law?
Yeah, that's the question. Why are they? Why is the Queen and Harper going after the Liberals?
I think it's a combination of two things. It's on the one side the idea that they think that nobody will fight. Is there a Canadian Trade Union Federation? Are there Quebecois?
Will the Canadian media tell people what this is, what they're seeing?
Yeah, it's that's unlikely, but there might be. You know, again. What the challenge is, if somebody pulls a coup d'etat, this is a cold coup by the Queen.
Yeah, it's a coup.
The only answer to a cold coup of any kind is an open-ended nationwide general strike.
There should be a million Canadians right now protesting in Ottawa.
Right. And that should be a general strike. In other words, shut it down. The model for all this stuff is the Kapp-Putsch in Germany in, 1920, 1921. A group of a sort of proto-fascist civil servants and officers took over the government. This is that Kapp. And the answer to that was the Social Democratic Party and the trade unions said, we're shutting it all down. Nothing moves.
And
no
Hitler
trade.
Tried that with the Munich Putsch a few years later.
Right. That's a second attempt at the Kapp Putsch. But the Kapp Putsch is a case where they actually did seize the government in Berlin and then had to give it up because the ruling elite got scared. And they said, oh, my God, somebody's fighting. We better back off, and we'll try again another day.
Because they understand something that causes random explosions could be dangerous to them.
Right, but in this case, there was they had organization, which we don't have. And we don't have a Social Democratic Party or anything like it. We don't have a trade union.
We don't have a real liberal arm. It's all infiltrated.
Well, we don't have mass organizations, right? That's the biggest thing is there's a complete atomization of the U.S.
Well, that's infiltration by the left gatekeepers. And by the right gatekeepers into any organization. I mean, if we try to have a meeting of 200 people, a provocateur shows up and tries to cause a problem. So that gets into the whole other area of the science of dealing with them and throwing them out. I mean, I let very few in my office because I had folks show up randomly, with a videotape and then try to claim we did something to them, you know, and then run around. There's major COINTELPRO in this town, Webster.
Well, the only way you fight the arrogance of secret intelligence agencies and people who do this is with mass organization. And it's got to start with mass education.
Well, there's got to be more organizations, too, not just even, you say mass, those are easy to infiltrate with the tools the enemy's developed. What about a general manifesto of liberty and thousands of groups then joining together spontaneously in what the enemy is most worried about in their own military projections, and that is flash mobs?
Well, a united front. In other words, a united, because right now we don't have such an umbrella organization, so we'd have to, the only thing we could do right now that would be realistic is to say, let's have a united front. I've talked about calling something like Americans Against Fascism. I believe this is an anti-fascist country. I think that's the one thing we can still say about the U.S. The American people are opposed to fascism. And the stuff with Obama, it comes from the crimes of Bush, Cheney, and the neocons, a lot of people thought they were voting against the devil they knew. Unfortunately, they didn't know the devil they were getting, who is several circles deeper in the inferno than Bush and Cheney. He comes from there pretty much. Well, he's not the bottom. He's not quite the bottom still. There's something even worse than Obama coming from the wings. But a lot of people thought they were voting against that. And, of course, a lot of people are voting because they see a depression. And they say, well, let's get these reactionary Republicans out of there and let's get a Democrat. And
but meanwhile, the enemy had already seen that people were going to rebel after 8 years of this. So years ago, they had groomed and prepared this foundation front with all of these Stalinesque and Leninesque cover points when really he's a corporatist to the core.
Right. And he's a Mussolini. And certainly he does have these overtones of Soviet style. Totalitarianism, beyond any doubt. But the ultimate
they're
thing
borrowing
is,
from every, the most horrible pieces from every machine of dehumanization and combining it here.
that it's a cookbook, and that's the cookbook of the CIA People Power Coup or Color Revolution. It's the Kiev 2004 cookbook. It's the Tiflis, Georgia 2003-2004 cookbook. They've tried it someplace else.
They've even tried in north of Israel, in Lebanon, to come in with these color revolutions. But it seems like the color revolutions are blowing up on every front.
Yeah, but see, that was the Lebanon one is interesting because there they tried to do the Cedars Revolution with the rich Christian Maronites and so forth. And they ran right up against, in this case, a real mass organization.
Hezbollah.
You can say what you want about Hezbollah, right? You wouldn't want to endorse everything they do. But that is an authentic mass organization, and they stopped it cold. And they showed that they could put more people into the streets than the hysterical mass media and the U.S. Embassy and all their paid shills. So that's a real good example. I mean, we don't want to found a Hezbollah here, but a mass organization stops them. Right now we don't have it. So what we've got to do is, I mean, during the phase that we're in now, up until January 20th, the main thing I think is to educate people, right, to denounce these people as they come forward, right? Oh, Robert Gates, who's he? Well, that's Zbigniew Brzezinski's office boy from 1977 to 1979. That's a guy who was up to his neck in the October surprise, up to his neck in Iran-Contra. He's the founder of Al-Qaeda. The founder of Al-Qaeda, Robert Gates, is getting continuity at the Pentagon.
Yeah, okay, well, that's a great doorway into, let's talk about the founder of Al-Qaeda and then dovetail into Mubai. Because, okay. All weekend we're going to be here talking to you about Obama himself for the film. But let's cover Mubai because I don't know your view on that yet, but I bet I can guess. We'll be right back.
The holidays are right around the corner. The crowds, the countless hours in traffic, finding a parking spot just to buy a gift you're worried they might not like anyway. How about surprising your loved ones with a gift they can use every day of the year? Give the gift of safety with security products from PepperSpray.com. PepperSpray.com carries the largest assortment of pepper spray and other personal safety devices on the web for your spouse, your children, your coworkers, and more. When you purchase the perfect gift from PepperSpray.com, you'll receive 10% off just by using the coupon code GCN. What better way to say Merry Christmas than giving the priceless gift of safety and security from PepperSpray.com? Shop now at PepperSpray.com or call 1-800-908-9988. That's 1-800-908-9988. PepperSpray.com wishes you and yours a safe and happy holiday season.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Everyone knows that omega-3 should be an essential part of our daily diet. With so many different methods of consumption, how do you choose a simple yet effective way to get your daily intake? The friendly, knowledgeable folks at North American Nutrition have the answer. Nature's Gem Premium Omega-3. Unlike other flaxseed, our golden flax is grown on our farm in northern Minnesota, providing cooler temperatures and longer summer hours, producing the highest quality premium golden flaxseed around. In addition, we selectively harvest and sort flax seeds by size and weight, keeping only the best seeds that can produce the highest abundance of omega-3. The result is a delicious, nutty, buttery flavor. Nature's Gem Golden Flax is pure. There is nothing added and nothing taken away and non-GMO. We offer a 100% money-back guarantee. Order Nature's Gem Premium Golden Flax today at goldenflax.com, goldenflax.com, or call 800-387-5516. That's 800-387-5516. Free shipping included.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking.
they say can be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like no bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter what it takes. Eastbound and down.
We are back live. Here is the cover to Webster Griffin Tarpley's Japanese edition of Obama the Post Modern Sue. And here is the cover to another version of this. Which one is this? German? This is Deutsch. And we've got one of his books sold at Infowars.com. He's got two books on this subject. Okay, and before we leave, we'll plug that, Webster. Webster, let's continue right now with where we've gotten to, with what Al-Qaeda is, how it was created, how the establishment created, radicalized Muslim groups that were already there, but funded them, expanded them, to run around the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. This just didn't begin with Brzezinski, to menace governments that the establishment didn't like. And then after they let the extremist Muslims take over, then the West has a new enemy and recycles that. But the point of Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense that Obama has said he's keeping over, being literally the Brzezinski man at the Al-Qaeda desk with its founding, its organization in the late 1970s.
I think Gates sets the stage from a couple of points of view. Last Wednesday, I got up in the morning, go outside, get the Washington Post. Gates will stay at the Pentagon reading this thing in the afternoon. Reports coming in, Mumbai terrorism. So the same day that the world learned in the papers that Obama had essentially accepted the dictation of his handlers to keep Gates at the Pentagon, throw out all this stuff about hope and change, change, no more change, Gates stays at the Pentagon. Now, Robert Gates, who is this person? Robert Gates, first of all, was, as Brzezinski says, from 1977 to 1979-80, when Brzezinski came to the National Security Council of the Jimmy Carter Trilateral Administration every morning, the first person he saw in the morning was Robert Gates, and the last person he saw in the evening when he left was Robert Gates. So Robert Gates was his right-hand man, his Girl Friday, his office boy.
His right? gopher, his minion. Yeah. And we see this with these apprentices. With these Sith lords, just like Kashkari is Paulson's long-term servant and minion, now right. handing out the 8.4 trill.
Right. So Gates is a clone of Zbigniew Brzezinski. They say he's a Republican. It just doesn't matter at all. His career,
former CIA director.
Yeah,
also,
we'll get to it. We're going to get to it. Yeah. His career was sponsored by Zbigniew Brzezinski. Now, recently, Gates signaled to all of us what he's going to do, and he gave a speech. I don't know if you saw this. It's the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
Yes.
With Jessica Matthews.
The real think tank that really makes a lot of policy.
Sure, it's a pretty high-level one. It's older. Jessica Matthews, of course, this is the daughter of Barbara Tuchman. This is the daughter of Kuhn Loeb, Warburg, all this stuff.
The attempted Nazi coup in the 30s.
Right, but she's there, and Gates is in a mood of nostalgia, and he says, "Hey, Jessica," speaking to a gathering at the Carnegie Endowment. He says, "Jessica, do you remember when both of us worked for Zbigniew Brzezinski at the National Security Council, and we got this invitation to go to Algeria on April 1st, I believe it was, of 1978, because that was the national day, and there was an opportunity to meet with the Iranian leadership. In other words, the Khomeiniacs, the Khomeini guys, the Khomeini prime minister, the Khomeini defense minister, and the Khomeini foreign minister. That guy was Yazdi. He was the most important of these. And he says, Jessica, you remember how Zbigniew gave a speech, and he laid it all out for the Iranians, and he said to them in a private meeting, look, Iranians.
Stay there. We've got a break. Back okay. in 70 seconds with this riveting and vital information. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.